now this morning or today in Dingle, we see the launch, or we're seeing the launch of the Marine Vessel Institute, the new multi-million euro vessel, the RV Tom Crean. It's the naming ceremony of it, officially named at a ceremony in Dingle this morning. In May 2021, Fianna Fáil Councillor Brandon Fitzgerald tabled a motion at the Castle Island Kirkwina Municipal District meeting that an official naming ceremony would take place in Dingle. The Marine Institute named the ship in recognition of Onascall Antarctic explorer Tom Crean for his amazing achievements. The 53-metre RV Tom Crean will be used for ocean surveys, fishery, acoustic and environmental research and buoy and mooring operations. The Minister for Agriculture, Food and Marine, Charlie McGonagall, will attend the event in Dingle this morning. Tom Crean's granddaughter, Aileen Crean O'Brien, will perform the commissioning ceremony for the 25 million euro vessel and will be smashing a bottle of Tom Crean's beer off the hull of the ship as it is officially commissioned. Before coming in air this morning, I spoke to the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McGonagall, and I first asked him about the auspiciousness of the day, the naming of the vessel for a Kerry hero, and the work that it will do.
Yeah, it's a really significant piece of equipment and national infrastructure that we're launching today in the new RV Tom Crean. So it's really important to, in terms of supporting the Marine Institute and doing the massive work that they do. So they have a very significant task in relation to doing all the scientific exploration of our seas. Doing the exploration in relation to mapping our seas, also doing assessment in relation to the health of our fish stocks, and they need the proper and modern equipment to be able to help them do that. They've had two vessels over the last number of years, and one of those vessels, the Celtic Voyager, is now being retired with the arrival of the RV Tom Crean. So it's a phenomenal boat. Overall cost was 25 million euro, but it has all of the key up-to-date technology, scientific equipment, etc. And from now on, it'll be spending 300 days a year at sea. So that shows you the level of work that is going to be undertaking, and how valued and essential it will be to the work of the Marine Institute. So it's great to be here, particularly in Dingle today, which is such a tremendous maritime tradition. And the reason we're coming is because the boat was named after that wonderful son of Kerry, Tom Crean, who was one of our national heroes and original explorers. And I think it's a very, very appropriate naming of it. And I'm glad to be with Minister Foley today. And indeed, I want to recognise the initiative of Councillor Brendan Fitzgerald as well, who was advocated so strongly for the launch to be in Dingle today.
And indeed, the work that the Marine Institute vessel will be doing is important from the point of view of the science, because that gets the numbers and the figures. It tells us what the different stocks of fish are doing, and that feeds into, I suppose, quotas and what Irish fishermen and Kerry fishermen will be allowed to fish for in the future.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously, quotas is something we're always trying to improve our situation in relation to, and that's something that I am taking up the baton of as part of the Common Fisheries Policy Review, which is happening over the next number of months. And I recently brought together all of the key stakeholders and fisher representatives in the country to put together a strategy to agree the strongest approach possible for us at a national level to actually try and improve our position within Europe. Obviously, we've had an impact because of Brexit, and the key natural resource that drives our fishing industry nationally is fish, and quotas are essential to that. And that's a battle I'll be pursuing over the next number of months. But of course, also essential to the health and the amount of fish that we can catch is that we have healthy fish stocks. And you can only have that by actually having a good assessment and an accurate assessment of the health of the stocks as they stand, and then fishing then at a maximum sustainable yield that actually takes the level of fish which the stock can withstand, so that the stock stays healthy and sustainable for future years, and that we can continue to fish them for many years to come. And over the last couple of decades, we have seen some of our stocks become depleted because we didn't have the type of scientific evidence that allowed us to know what the maximum sustainable yield was. So, you know, at the moment, some of our stocks, which we would have significant quota for, are actually closed off for us to allow them time to recover. And that's sort of as a result of the fact that the fishing wouldn't have been as sustainable as it should have been in years past. And a lot of that was down to the fact that we didn't have the scientific evidence to back that up and to decide that. So we're in a much stronger position now, and central to that will be the work of the Tom Crean.
Yeah, certainly. Well, speaking of, I suppose, fisheries policy, the Common Agricultural Policy has been signed off on by Cabinet, by the government, the €9.8 billion plan over the next 5 years. The new cap will run clear in 2027. It provides the majority of the income for farmers in Ireland. The bulk of Ireland's share comes from the EU, but will co-finance the policy to be around €2.3 billion. What's your reaction to finally getting this signed off, and your reaction to the response from some of the farming lobby groups in this country, including the IFA, who said the plan approved by Cabinet will undermine food production and contains unrealistic targets?
Yeah, well, I don't agree with the IFA's position, and we have a number of farm organisations and a number of people with very different views in relation to the cap, and indeed many farmers within the IFA as well who would have very different views to that. So it's a real aspect of developing the cap programme that you have so many different farming types, so many different parts of the country, and it's very difficult to get the right balance, and you certainly won't please everyone. But I put in a massive effort working with everyone and all my team over the last 18 months to actually ensure that there was very broad consultation to ensure that this cap programme would be a fair and balanced one, fair to all sectors of agriculture and all farm types and farm sizes, as well as fair to all parts of the country. And I think the cap which we've signed off by government this week is one which achieves that. And will serve Irish agriculture well, but it's going to be the key framework that will develop our farming and back our family farms over the next 5 years, starting from January coming, running up to the end of 2027. And the schemes that are in place are really strong ones. All of them are strengthened and developed further from the outgoing cap. And really importantly then in relation to the funding of those, which of course is the key aspect that farmers will be looking to, we've delivered an extra 50% funding. I'm thankful to the Minister for Public Expenditure, Michael McGrath, for his commitment in that regard. So an extra 50% national funding over the next 5 years to ensure that we can actually strengthen all those schemes. For example, the new beef scheme will be paying €150 a head for the first 10 animals compared to 90 ahead in the previous scheme, and then the new environmental scheme has 50% extra funding in it.
Sure, and that scheme, does that need to be changed further? I know changes have been announced there, but does that need to be changed further in response to what farmers are saying? It doesn't work for all farmers, it doesn't work to the fullest extent that it could, the acre scheme.
No, I think it's a very strong scheme. It's in the process of being rolled out over the next period of time, and I will continue to take feedback from farmers and as it evolves. But a lot of thought and consideration has gone into the actual design of it. It is a big task now over the course of this autumn and going into the winter to actually transition applicants and get as many applicants as possible into the new scheme, taking over from the GLAS scheme. That's undoubtedly a big job of work for agricultural advisors in particular, and it also was some work for farmers in relation to actually assessing the detail of the scheme. But I think over the last few weeks, farmers have just been turning their mind to that. I did make some changes to it this past week to make it to improve its attractiveness to some in terms of some of the measures that are in place, and I continue to monitor. But I do think it's a very strong scheme, and I think as farmers look at it, all farmers will see measures which are going to be attractive to them and will work for them. And but I wouldn't underestimate the logistical challenge that it is in terms of that application, doing so many applications over the next period of time. I'm certainly committed to trying to ensure as many farmers as possible are in acres for the fall of next year. But of course, that means trying to get the applications completed between now and the end of the year.
Sure. Minister, can I ask you on a separate issue? EirGrid has today warned of significant electricity supply issues in the coming years due to a widening gap between supply and demand. They're forecasting demand for electricity will increase by 37%. What they're saying, though, in real terms, is that we're in serious trouble. They're describing the situation as stark and serious, and warns the number of system alerts will increase. The demand is going up, but we have failed to provide in terms of the energy we need, but also the infrastructure that we need to keep the lights on this winter. Is this an indictment of this and the previous government for not getting us ready for increased demand?
Well, I think this is going to be a challenge over the next few years as demand increases, and also, of course, the challenges around consistency of supply in relation to gas, etc., which is important as well in relation to the generation of electricity. But it is something the government are very much plugged into, and we have been working on and focused on in terms of supporting our electricity providers and our national infrastructure. and Airgrid indeed to try and deal with that. It is going to be something we're going to have to put a big focus on over the next number of years.
Yeah, it's too late for this winter, though. Like, we're at a plant now, a situation in Moneypoint where they're burning coal, not even gas, and there's been objection from within the government, strong objection from your partners, the government, the Green Party, to any consideration of adding gas capacity, yet we're being told we're going to need gas and we need infrastructure for gas. Tarbert had a fire 2 weeks. That's out for the winter, as far as I can tell. We're burning coal in Moneypoint, which is the worst fossil fuel. And here we are in a crisis situation because we failed to prepare. And we've a planning system that at the moment is getting in the way of even providing emergency supply. So we're log jammed everywhere we turn.
It's going to take a big effort by all to ramp up the generation capacity to match the demand. But that is a national priority for the government. We are using some coal at the moment because, of course, the key objective is we have to generate enough electricity to ensure we're supplying the country. That's something we want to transition out of. Obviously, we have very significant plans underway in relation to developing a potential in relation to offshore wind energy. And over the next number of years and over the next decade, that's something that's going to make a massive difference and turn us from a state in a country that's very dependent on outside energy sources to one that actually will be a net exporter.
Yeah, but at the moment we aren't even ready for that, Minister, because we can't build the actual infrastructure. We can't build the grid because of planning objections and because of the length of time it takes to get that done. So even if we build the renewables, and hopefully we'll have a lot of them here in Kerry, particularly offshore, at the moment we're not ready to plug it into the system because our system isn't working in terms of efficiently getting ready for it.
We are efficiently getting ready for it and driving on that work. So just over the last number of months, the Minister for Housing, Darragh O'Brien, introduced the new Marine Area Regulatory Authority legislation to the Dáil, which will streamline the process for planning applications for offshore wind energy and is a total overhaul of our planning system. And that's going to be really important to enabling the offshore applications to happen and for that work to progress. That is something the government is putting massive effort into and making progress on, Gerry. But there is a challenge there for the next number of years, which we're going to have to work and support our generators to actually address this winter.
Are you concerned, finally, this winter, that the lights may go off?
I think it's an issue we're going to have over the next number of years, and I believe as the next 2 or 3 years evolve, it's going to become more of a challenge. But that's something we're going to have to work to support and ensure that we keep the electricity and the proper supply available. And certainly we're engaged very closely with Airgrid and in relation to making sure that every step is taken to keep consistency of supply this winter as well.
Okay, Minister, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us in the programme this morning.
Thanks, Gerry.